Gospel of John, chapter 4. Gospel of John, chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 39 to pick up where we were last Lord's Day, reading to the end of the chapter. The Gospel of John, chapter 4. Beginning at verse 39, I'm reading from the New American Standard Bible. From that city, many of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all the things that I have done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he went forth from there into Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves also went to the feast. Therefore he came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And there was a royal official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. As he was now going down, his slaves met him, saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better. They said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This again is a second sign that Jesus performed when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God endures forever. Let's pray. Father, we would not presume just to open your word and to read a story and to think that we can benefit in the way that you would have us benefit. And so we do pause and we humble ourselves before you, the author of this word. And we pray, even as we have sung, that you would send your Spirit, that you would grant to us the gift of faith, and that you would strengthen our faith. Enable us to hear your voice, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. This is a story about faith. We see this from Jesus' comment in verse 48. This somewhat gives us a key about what the story is about. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." And we see it from the way that the story turns out. Verse 53, the man himself believed and also his whole household. At the same time, it's a story about life. I mean, this man comes to Jesus because his child is dying. Jesus says, go, your son lives. As the man is going, his servants come and say the same thing. Your son lives. Clearly, this is a story about faith and life. And so it's easy to see why John would include this story in his gospel. Faith and life are major themes in the gospel of John. I'll turn back to chapter 1 for just a moment to look at a couple of these. The way John builds this theme, he begins the book, chapter 1, verse 4, by speaking of Jesus, the Word of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And then immediately he tells us about John the Baptist, verse 7, that he came as a witness to testify about the light so that all might believe through him. We could turn to that most familiar of verses, John 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And the chapter ends with the same thought, verse 36. He who believes in the Son has eternal life. We could skip over to chapter 6, verse 47. Even as we have sung this morning, Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. And then he says, I am the bread of life. Verse 50, this is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Or we could think of that familiar story of Jesus at the tomb of Lazarus, speaking with Martha. Jesus, John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even if he dies. We could go on and on. Faith and life, major themes in the Gospel of John. We could think back to what we have just studied in recent weeks. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. He believes something about Jesus. And so he comes to talk to Jesus at night, and Jesus talks to him about life, about the necessity of being born again. The woman of Samaria, the woman at the well, she came to believe that Jesus was not just a Jew or a prophet who was able to tell her everything about his life, about her life, but she came to believe that he was the Christ, the Messiah, and then confessed with the other citizens of the city, this is indeed the Savior of the world. This is the one who said to me that a well of living water would spring up within me, a well bringing eternal life. And now this royal official who meets Jesus in a time of crisis, his son is dying, and yet he believes and experiences life. These stories, Nicodemus, the woman of Samaria, this royal official, these are stories that are only found in the Gospel of John, but very appropriately as they speak to us about the relationship between faith and life. As Jesus, as John says, as he comes to the end of his Gospel, the very reason why he has written this book, these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. And so again, this morning, as we think about who Jesus is, let's expect God to strengthen our faith, to give us a stronger faith, to create faith within us. And then with that faith to help us enjoy his gift of life. The first thing that we see in this story is that faith is sometimes a very weak and imperfect thing. This is the way the story opens, by reminding us that our faith sometimes is not what it ought to be. Our faith is sometimes a very weak and imperfect thing. Here's a man. He's a royal official. It means he works for the government. But he's got a good job. He's at the highest level of government. He's a royal official. He's got money. He's got influence. He's got connections. He knows people. He can get things done. But today he's in desperate need. His son is dying. He's got a fever. Everything that could be done for him has been done. If it was money, if money could buy it, it's been done. All the calls for help. But everybody who has come and looked at his boy has said, he's going to die. I mean, there's nothing more to do. Just make him as comfortable as you can. We're sorry for your loss. But the father says, no, there's got to be something that can be done. There's got to be somebody who can help him. There is a man. I've heard stories. In Jerusalem, there was a man who came there and he did things that nobody else has ever done. Wonderful things. It's even said that he went to a wedding and they ran out of wine and he took ordinary water and turned it into the finest wine. I think that man can help. I'm going to go look for that man. Now, let's pause. Why is this father, this royal official, interested in Jesus? He's not drawn to Jesus as Nicodemus was. Remember, Nicodemus had these theological questions, and Nicodemus was looking for, you know, how can a man enter into the kingdom of God? This father is not even approaching Jesus as the woman at Samaria. Remember, she was pricked in her conscience. She came face to face with her moral failures, her sin. She was hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Give me this water. This royal official is only interested in what he can get from Jesus. If his son wasn't sick and on the point of dying, he probably would never have shown any interest in going and looking for Jesus. The Lutheran commentator Richard Lenski says, God's providence often uses our need in this way to drive us to find even more than just what we think we need. This father believes something about Jesus. He believes that Jesus can help. His faith moves him to go out and find Jesus. And even though he's a powerful and influential man, servants that he could have sent to go get Jesus, he himself goes to find Jesus. But his reason for tracking Jesus down is simply to get something from him. Now, sadly, that's where our faith is, my faith. What can I get? Sometimes that's what brings people to Jesus for the first time. It's some felt need. Some sense that things are not right in my life. Not necessarily looking for salvation, but just looking for some relief. Sometimes this is what drives us to pray and to read our Bibles. We're looking for something. We just want something that will give us the relief from whatever problem we're struggling with. It may be genuine faith, but it's weak and it's imperfect, and you can't stop there. So second, we see in this story that faith needs to be challenged in order to make it stronger. Faith needs to be exercised. The royal official tracks Jesus down, verse 47. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Jesus, please come with me. My son is sick. He's going to die. Nobody's been able to do anything. I think that you could do something, so please come. Now, what would you expect Jesus to do? Let's go. Come on. Show me the way. I'll follow you. I'll do exactly what needs to be done. Let's not lose a minute. You lead the way. I will come heal your son. But what would have happened to this father if Jesus had followed him home and Jesus healed his son? Thank you. Thank you for coming. I'm glad to have my son back. Let me pay your expenses. You've traveled all of this way. I'm sure he'd be appreciative. He'd be glad to have his son back. But most of all, he'd be glad that his family was restored. What did the man really need, though? He needed his son to live. But even more than that, he needs to know who Jesus is. He needs to have his faith in Jesus clarified and strengthened and pointed in the right direction. You know, think about what's wrong with this man's faith for just a moment. Why it's so weak at this point. He believes something about Jesus. He's come to Jesus. But there's something wrong with his faith. Obviously, we can see that his faith is demanding to see something before it will believe fully. That's what Jesus says. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and was imploring him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe." Jesus knows the man has just come to get something. Jesus knows he doesn't really know who I am. His faith is weak because it requires Jesus to be physically where the problem is. Come with me. Come to where the problem is. If you don't come, you can't help my son. And then his faith is weak because it requires Jesus to act now or it'll be too late. Come now. Come down. The boy is dying. If you don't come, it's going to be too late. Later on in John's Gospel, Jesus will address the very same problem with Mary and with Martha at the tomb of Lazarus. They sent the message to Jesus. Why didn't he come? Martha says, "Lord, if you had only been here when we sent for you, my brother would not have died." So again, this man believes something about Jesus. He's got faith. He's sought Jesus out, but he believes that there are limits to what Jesus can do. You've got to come to where my son is. You've got to come now. Space and time are obstacles that nobody can get around. You would have to be God to break through those barriers of space and time, which is the very lesson that Jesus wants to impress upon this man, revealing who he truly is. The solution to our problems in life is not a matter of minutes and miles. It's a matter of who Jesus is and what he has said. He can break through those barriers of space and time. Now, that's a great comfort. You think about your children, where they live. I can't be there. They're in Atlanta. They're in St. Louis. They're somewhere on the other side of the country. Space and time is not a barrier to Jesus. Husband working in Washington, people traveling on the road. It's not a matter of minutes and miles for Jesus to be able to take care of those people that we love. So what does Jesus do? The man begs, "Come, heal my son." Verse 48, Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you simply will not believe. Doesn't sound very nice. Sounds like Jesus is trying to get rid of the man. Holding him at arm's length. Putting him off. I mean, how would you respond? Somebody says that. What does the man do? He refuses to be turned aside so quickly. Verse 49, the royal official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus is challenging the man's faith. He's going to exercise this man's faith. He's going to put him in a position where he's going to have to exert his faith more forcefully. Now, we know how this works in the physical world. You don't grow stronger until you meet some kind of resistance. That's the reason they give tests in school, right? They give you some resistance. Well, you've got to study. You've got to become stronger in what you know. In the physical realm, walking, running, lifting weights, playing the sport, you've got muscles, but they're weak. You've got muscles, but they're not what they need to be. They're weak. And then you've got body fat. No stamina. It's through exercise, working your muscles, being challenged by some resistance that you become stronger and stronger. And it's the same with faith. A weak faith needs to be exercised so that it becomes stronger. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He sees this man. End of John chapter 2, we're told that Jesus knows what's in a man. Jesus recognizes this man is one of the elect. This man has genuine faith. But his faith is weak. He doesn't really know everything that he needs to know about me. And so Jesus exercises his faith. He makes him exert his faith stronger, more forcefully. So the man will come to see who he is. Sometimes I think that's the explanation as to why bad things happen to God's people. You go through a difficult season in your marriage. You face some kind of physical weakness or illness or pain. Lose your job, you have to find another one. Finances being squeezed to the limit. God knows that you have faith, but he's wanting to make it stronger. He's exercising our faith. Third, we can learn here that faith is often a matter of making difficult choices. Faith is often a matter of making difficult choices. Verse 50, Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. Two sentences, verse 50. Two statements. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son lives." Period. The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and started off. Period. What has me interested in is what is going on between those two sentences. You know, what is the man thinking about? You know, at that point, Jesus says, "Go, your son lives." How long did the man stand there and look into the face of Jesus and think? Now what do? And if I do what Jesus says, and he's wrong, if I leave here without taking Jesus with me, you know, what's going to happen to my son? You know, these thoughts are racing through his head. If I don't come back with Jesus and my son dies, what will people think? Well, what's wrong with you? You went all the way and you found him and you didn't bring him back. They'll laugh at me. What if I take him just at his word with nothing else to go on? And things don't turn out the way that I want them to. What will people think? But then if I don't do what Jesus says, if I stay here and I keep begging and pleading and asking for some kind of a sign that will guarantee that my son is going to be living, it'll insult him. My son will still be in jeopardy. What should I do? How long did he stand there looking at Jesus? We don't know. All we know is that slowly, deliberately, he turned. He set his face toward home. The man believed the word of Jesus and started off. And I think all of the angels in heaven just started singing, rejoicing. Faith involves making choices, hard choices. Faith means even when you have nothing else to go on, that you take Jesus at his word and you do what he says. Now, finally, we see in this story that faith will grow to full assurance. Here we have a problem. What time was it when Jesus said, "Your son lives"? There's a little difficulty in the text that I don't think we can fully solve. Capernaum is about a 6 or 7 hour walk from Cana. If Jesus healed the boy at the 7th hour, which according to Jewish time is what time? 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The man would have had time to get home before dark. Yet we're told specifically that as he was heading home, he started out right after Jesus said to go, and he starts out, and on the way his servants meet him, and they say, "Yesterday, the 7th hour, your son started to get better." Some have suggested that John is using Roman time. This sounds confusing to us. Why all these different times here? Well, you've got these Jewish people who count things in one way, and yet the Romans are occupying their land. So perhaps John is reverting and he's using Roman time here, which would have been 7 o'clock in the evening. This would have been an evening interview, much like with Nicodemus. The man finds Jesus toward the evening. It would have been too late for the man to make it home in the dark. Perhaps he started off and then he had to stop somewhere along the way. We don't know the answer to that problem. What we do know is the man believed the word of Jesus. He started out, he started going home. His servants meet him with the glad news. Verse 51, as he was now going down, his slaves met him saying that his son was living. So he inquired of them the hour when he began to get better, and they said, "Yesterday at the 7th hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at that hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. This is very much like the woman at the well. She was on a journey of faith. She began to learn who Jesus was, and she began to believe just a little bit more. "Jesus is a Jew. Why are you talking to me? We're not supposed to have dealings together. Oh, I see that you are a prophet. You're able to tell me things that nobody else. Well, let me ask you a theological question. You're not the Christ, are you?" You see, her knowledge and her faith of who Jesus is begins to grow. And you get to the end of the chapter, she with all of the other people in that town say, "This is the Savior of the world, not just of Jews, but of the world." This royal official is on a journey of faith. He began with some kind of belief that Jesus could help him. His faith was weak. It was imperfect. He then makes a hard decision. I'm going to go with what Jesus says. I've got nothing else to go on, but I'm going to believe his promise. But now we find the full assurance of faith, where he's not just believing something that Jesus said, but he's believing who Jesus is. No one but Christ, the Son of God, could do what he just did, breaking through the barriers of space and time, healing my son just by saying, go, your son lives. And so we're told that he believes again, he and his whole household. Not only did he change water into wine, but now he changes death into life. He snatches this boy out of the arms of death from a distance and in a moment of time. And so this man's journey is a story about faith and life. And John has written this story that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. This morning, if you have never committed yourself to Jesus Christ, why not today? Why not think deeply on this story to see who Jesus is, what he has done in this situation, what God himself says about his son? Believe and experience that eternal life. For those of you here this morning that are Christians, that are believers, I think we can identify with this man's story that our faith is often very weak. It's imperfect. We struggle with, am I going to do what Jesus says in this situation or not? What if I do it and things don't work out the way that I want them to work out? People will laugh. Church budgets. Church buildings. Your children. The salvation of your children. The safety of your children. Ministries that you are involved with in your neighborhood or the Charleston Christian School. Your marriage in need of healing. Physical healing. Relationships. Problems with in-laws or with parents. Why not believe? Why not take Jesus at his word, even if you have nothing else to go on? See him as the Christ, the Son of God, and believe his word. Let's pray.